this service of worship on this second Sunday of Advent as we continue our preparation to celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. If you're visiting with us, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin today the calendar for this week. There is one addition to that. In addition to the diaconate meeting this afternoon, which will meet in the parlor, the nominating committee will meet after the service as well, and they will be meeting in the nursery. Do want to just point out there are other activities going on, calling your attention to that, especially the service at Glenridge Nursing Center on Tuesday afternoon. Also, the Women's Christmas Tea here next Saturday in the parlor at 2. And especially next Sunday is the 71st Annual Festival of Carols that will be held at 5 o'clock in the evening here in the sanctuary. Singers from the greater Malden area will be gathering at 3 next Sunday for rehearsal, and the program begins at 5. We encourage you to come next Sunday and invite friends and neighbors to attend with you. Also, there is a pink insert in your bulletin today. If you would like to order a Christmas poinsettia in honor or in memory of a loved one, we invite you to do that. All orders must be in by next Sunday so that our Boy Scout troop has time to order them and get them delivered for the following Sunday, which is Christmas Sunday. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 194, and it will be a unison call to worship this day, as we'll be reading from the prophet Micah. So I invite you to turn to 194 at this time. Now we'll wait just a moment, and then we will read together in unison from God's holy word. Let us join together. But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Our opening hymn this morning is O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 169. And please note we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Silence.
Let us pray. God of the darkened night and God of the morning light, come to us again. Come to us in the breaking of the bread, in the harmony of our songs. Come in the sound of silence, in the laughter of friends. Come in our faithful waiting and hopeful watching. Come to us in the cry for peace, in the smile of forgiveness. God of the darkened night and God of the morning light, come to us and be with us. Be our Emmanuel. We ask this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary, I invite you to come forward for our moments together at this time. Last Sunday? Okay, so you were all here last Sunday. I wasn't. When I came in the sanctuary Tuesday morning, I said, wow, look at all the changes that took place while I was away. You decorated for Christmas and Advent. We're getting ready for Christmas. But there's one change from last Sunday. Do you know what it is? Something was added to the manger scene. Lillian, what was added? The shepherd? The shepherd was added to be with his sheep. That's right. So the characters in the manger scene are growing. Do you remember Mr. Patriot did the message last week. Do you remember what he talked about the first candle on the Advent wreath representing? Do you remember what he said? It's a four-letter word, starts with an H. Hope, that's right, that's right. Well, so each candle this Advent is going to represent something else. Last Sunday, it was hope. Today, it's peace. And the Bible tells us that a child will be born for us. He will be called Prince of Peace. His power will continue to grow, and there shall be endless peace. Now, if we look around, if we listen to the news at all, we wouldn't say it's very peaceful, would we? But that's what God has promised, that Jesus is that Prince of Peace, and that someday there will be ultimate peace on earth. But right now, there isn't a lot. That's something that we need to be working toward as we follow Jesus. Sometimes we even find ourselves not being very peaceful. We find ourselves arguing with each other, especially during, as we're getting ready for Christmas, we try to be so good. We want to be on our best behavior so that, you know, we might get more gifts at Christmas time and not get a lump of coal in our stocking or anything. But sometimes it's very difficult because we just try to be so good, but we still end up fighting with our brothers or our sisters or arguing with friends at school. So we need to think about Jesus being our peace. And last Sunday, I think Mr. Patry mentioned there's a song, and I'm going to read it now, the words to it. Candle one is for the Lord, Christ our gift of hope. Light one candle, Christ is coming, helping us to cope. Candle two is for the Lord, Christ our gift of peace. Light two candles. Christ is coming, coming to us each. Christ is coming as a child, holy, meek, and mild. Candle one is for the Lord, Christ, our gift of hope. Candle two is for the Lord, Christ, our gift of peace. So as we light both the candles of hope and peace this morning, I want us to be thinking about that. Invite the congregation to join in the song, Light the Advent Candle, the words of which are printed on page two of the bulletin. Girls, you want to light candles today? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to earth to be our hope and peace for us. We pray that in these coming days, as we get ready to celebrate your birth once again, that we may focus on the hope that you offer to us, especially the peace, and help us to be peaceful people as we live with one another. This we ask in your name. Amen. You may go to your classes. Thank you, Irene and Marilyn. We come now to a time of sharing our celebrations and concerns as we spend a few moments in prayer together. One is, do we want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who's at home today, and Lana and Dorothy were caregivers, and also we want to remember Dorothy in prayer as Dorothy's traveling home to Jamaica tomorrow, or Tuesday, I guess, tomorrow. So we want to keep Dorothy in prayer as she is going home for a little while. And we want to keep Lana in prayer as she becomes a primary, only caregiver for Lucille. And also for the staff that you have that are helping keep them in prayer. I spoke with Helen Fleet this week, and if everything went well, she went home to Saugus yesterday. Long time from broken leg in June to this time. But she can do the stairs, and had seen the doctor last week, and was planning to be able to go home yesterday. So we want to keep Helen, as she's readjusting to being home rather than at her sister's, keep her in prayer today. We also want to remember today is the 73rd anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and we do are in memory of that. And as we think of, you know, a time of the president said it was a day to live in infamy, always be remembered. But also, you know, when we hear the news today, we may not hear of such massive bombings, but we still hear of violence and terrorism taking place. And we want to remember those who have been affected, especially this in recent months, by those who have been abducted and have been murdered by their captors, and just lift them up and the families up in prayer today. Do you have requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family? Dottie? Oh, that's wonderful. Tomorrow? Jake's birthday, Jake turns 10 tomorrow, so that's a wonderful celebration, and how much he's grown and developed, and we do celebrate that with the family. Lisa? Right. I want to keep the DeMore family in prayer, and also Noreen, as one of her best and longest, dearest friends passed away, and she's mourning that loss.
Like you.
So we want to, yes, those that have lost their voice or have sinus problems, I commiserate with you deeply. So we want to keep Noreen in prayer today. Peggy. Okay, your niece Kylie had an emergency appendectomy yesterday and is doing okay, I hope. Okay, good. Claire, it's good to see you today. You have any prayer requests? Okay, a granddaughter of neighbors of yours that have had major health issues, been recovering, recuperating, doing better, going to school, and went to Disney World and had a health issue down there and is hospitalized down there. So we want to keep that family in prayer, and the little girl especially in prayer this morning. Anyone else have a prayer request? Yes, Josh. Okay. We pray for you and your program and the grief that's been going on, and hopefully things can settle down for you. Anyone else have a prayer request this morning? Not then. Let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful that we are able to gather in this place so freely to worship you this day. We thank you for the beautiful decorations that we have that remind us of the season and remind us of all the elements of the Christmas story. And Lord, we never get tired of that story. We hear the words over and over again each year, and yet we are still filled with hope and anticipation. We know the end of the story, Lord. We know what happens Christmas morning. And yet each Advent, we come with expectations of something new and something fresh. We thank you that your word is a living word that is new to us each time that we are open and receptive to listening and reading your word. Lord, as we've gathered for worship this day, we do pray that your spirit may be upon us, moving within each of us and moving among us, that we may be praying according to your will for our lives. Lord, we've mentioned several today who have health concerns, and we do lift them up to you now and pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. Lord, we're grateful for medical staff and the knowledge and skill that they have that are able to care for us when we are ill and when we are injured. And Lord, we just now pray for those as well who are in sorrow and mourning over the death of a loved one, and just pray that she may bring comfort and peace to those who are hurting today. And Lord, on this 73rd anniversary of Pearl Harbor, our minds do go back. Some of us may remember that day, and many of us, though, it is a date in history, but we have read and heard stories and accounts. Lord, we thank you for the brave men and women who have served in our military over the years, throughout our history, to defend and protect us. And the freedoms that we have today, Lord, we are very grateful and indebted to those who have given up their lives for us. And Lord, we are mindful, though, that as we listen to the news, even today, that we do not live in a safe world, a world where there is much danger. And Lord, we do pray for the Prince of Peace to come to be among us. We are mindful of the words that Jesus gave to his disciples as he was preparing them for his departure, his death. And when he said that, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Lord, we pray that we may be ambassadors of Christ's peace in this world, that we may find ways of settling our differences without bloodshed, without too much anger, but that we may look to Christ for ways of settling and negotiating differences that may come to peaceful terms. And Lord, we pray that if we're able to do that in our personal lives, that that may translate into our communities and beyond that, that eventually the whole world may find ways of living more peacefully and harmoniously together. Lord, today as we pray for the Prince of Peace and await his coming, we ask all of this in his most precious and blessed name. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month, and we will be receiving two offerings during the service today. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering, which supports the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us.
Let us pray. Lord, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we pray that we may be aware and more in tune with the sights and the sounds of this season, that we may be looking for Jesus, for his arrival. We may be looking for ways of being living as peaceful people. Lord, we pray that these gifts may be multiplied as we share the good news of Jesus with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning at verse, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of this reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Lord, as we have read and heard your promise to the prophet Isaiah of a time to come when natural enemies will live harmoniously together, Lord, we look around our world and realize that we are far, far away from that time right now. Lord, we pray that in these moments, as we focus on the image of peace this Sunday in Advent, that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. From this morning's scripture, we have the following image. Wolves will live with lambs. Leopards will lie down with goats. Calves, young lions, and year-old lambs will be together, and little children will lead them. Cows and bears will eat together. Their young will lie down together. Lions will eat straw like oxen. Infants will play near cobras' holes. And toddlers will put their hands into vipers' nests. Imagine a menagerie of wild and domesticated animals living harmoniously together. 19th century painter Edward Hicks gave us a vision of this that he entitled The Peaceable Kingdom. That painting depicts a world of love, tranquility, and peace, even among the animals who are by nature enemies. Contrast this type of tranquility to that of a pet cemetery in New York State, which promotes that cats, pigs, hamsters, alligators, chickens, rabbits, parrots, turtles, dogs, and a lion cub share the same acre of earth. But truth be told, they coexist so peacefully at the pet cemetery because all those animals are dead. That's not what Isaiah had in mind. Today's scripture is a prophecy composed at a time in which the dynasty of King David, the son of Jesse, has been reduced to a mere stump. The people of Israel are cowering in fear of the Assyrians, who are just as cruel to God's people as the Egyptians had been when God's people were held in slavery. In the middle of this frightening and violent time, God promises to launch a new political initiative, a serenity so pervasive it bypasses the genetic hardwiring of nature itself, allowing the wolf and lamb to share their personal space without either temptation or intimidation. And this new regime comes from a shoot, from a bud, a sprout, a young leaf, not from a warrior king or a conquering army, but from a fragile sprout. We know this shoot to be Jesus the Christ, the one born as a vulnerable baby in a manger in Bethlehem, the city of David. He doesn't come to us at Bethlehem as a Messiah with unlimited military might, even though legions of angels are at his disposal. Rather than scorching the earth with firepower, these angels are instead singing on Christmas night, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all." As foretold in chapter 9 of Isaiah, Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, one who has the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. According to Gandhi, there are two kinds of power. One that is obtained by the threats of punishment, and the other arises from the acts of love. Now, this is not a sentimental sense that's often associated with love. Instead, it is a love that has practical, kingdom-building power. It's interesting in history when Quakers broke the food blockade on Germany and Austria after World War I, they were not motivated by emotional love toward the individual Germans. They had a higher sense of what makes politics work. And in fact, they seem to have been correct for 30 years later. Only Quaker relief agencies were allowed to rescue Jews inside Germany, even at the height of World War II, because they did not use threats of punishment, but what Gandhi referred to as acts of love. They made an impression on the mindset of people who were as dehumanized as the followers of Hitler. So what kind of power are we hoping for in this season of Advent? Coercive power or compassionate power? Our choice dictates whether we are a peaceable kingdom or a pet cemetery. We may not be able to bring the kingdom to the entire globe, but we might, just maybe, be able to bring it to our own neighborhoods. But as we act faithfully in our local situation, the effect may spread and may even affect our global world. Such is the interconnected nature of our lives today. We are able to do this because the shoot from the stump of Jesse has appeared. With the righteousness, he judges the poor and decides with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He destroys the violent, not by use of force or threat of punishment, but by speaking the truth. With the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked, as Isaiah wrote. Righteousness and faithfulness shall be his belts, and everything he does will be directed toward justice and good order. Whatever may happen in some time in the future, it is clear that God is currently working in this world at this time through each of us. So as we celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace, are we doing whatever we can to bring a peaceable kingdom? Or are we merely grave diggers in a pet cemetery? Are we influencing each other through threats of punishment or through acts of love? Do we show concern for the poor and the oppressed of the earth? Do we speak the truth in love, especially to those who are hurting themselves and hurting others? War no more. In chapter 2 of Isaiah, we read, "In days to come, the Lord will judge disputes between nations and settle arguments between many people. They will hammer their swords into plow blades and their spears into pruning shears. Nations will never fight against each other, and they will never train for war again." That is a beautiful vision, but it probably will not take full shape until Jesus comes in all his glory. There are not enough people who are committed to practicing love instead of punishment in our world. But in the meantime, in this Advent season of preparation and in the days beyond, we can graft our lives to the shoot that has emerged from the stump of Jesse and pray for his peace to fill us and transform us. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, promises Isaiah. Those who normally eat each other shall embrace each other. And those in conflict with each other will serenely coexist when Christ comes to bring peace to the earth. They will not hurt or destroy any on my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. What a glorious vision. For every one of us who has discovered firsthand what it means to hurt or destroy, this prophecy stands before us as an object of anticipation and hope. How harmonious it will be when the nursing child plays on a viper's nest, when the struggling parent learns to love instead of punish, when the boss who abuses workers changes his ways and asks for forgiveness, when the Arab and Israeli go walking through Jerusalem together, when the threats that we face in this world of poisonous gas on subways, other poisons being mailed through our postal system, exploding bombs in crowds, gunshots in neighborhoods, and the brutal murder of hostages, when all of these things are removed from our world forever, what a beautiful image of peace we will have. Only then will we know war no more. Only then will the root of Jesse rule and the peace of the Lord cover the earth. Until then, we can take this vision to heart and let it change our hearts forever. And I close this morning with a promise from the Lord through the prophet Hosea. I will make an arrangement with the wild animals, the Lord says, the birds and the animals that crawl on the ground. I will destroy all the bows, swords, and weapons of war so people can live safely. May God's peace come to our lives, our homes, our communities, and our world this Advent season. And may we be agents of Christ's peace in this world. Let's pray together. Lord, we see this image that Isaiah puts forth from you of the peaceable kingdom, where natural enemies live peacefully together. Lord, we yearn for that. We know we recognize that as the way it was in the Garden of Eden. We know we have a long way to go, Lord, before we can live that way. But Lord, we pray that the peace may begin with each of us who are here today, that we may be changed from being here and worshiping you today, that your Spirit may transform us, that we may go out from here and be not just peacemakers, but also peacekeepers and peace facilitators for others. Lord, it is a daunting task. We thank you that you have promised to always be with us. We pray that you will now prepare us as we move to the table of the Lord's Supper, that we'll remember Christ's promise to always be with us and to give us his peace. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is Silent Night, number 171. We'll be singing verse 1 only. You may be seated.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. The second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. Deacons will now receive your gifts for the communion offering. Please join me now in the reading of our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in the prayer and in aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we may regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain the daily family personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and unity of all the people and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered of the faithful, evangelical missions, for the relief of the distressed, for the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God who has given us life, who has called us to serve him, our sisters and brothers, in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of the table. And as the host, he invites each one of us with these words. Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins, that I was buried, raised on the third day, and ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity. And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation to receive the elements today. For as the host, Jesus invites all believers to receive these elements. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that we have not earned a seat around your table today. It is only through your grace and your mercy that we are able to come here. In these moments, Lord, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware that we have committed, and we ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. And we do ask now that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts and purify us, prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We go from the time of the prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament to jumping past the birth of Jesus and the angels singing to the shepherds in the fields. 33 years later, we go to an upper room when Jesus with his followers are gathered there. And Jesus knows that his time on earth is very short. And Jesus takes bread from the table and says to his disciples, this bread represents my body that's being broken for each of you. Whenever you eat this bread, Jesus told them and tells us, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Body of Jesus Christ, born as a baby in Bethlehem, died as our Savior in Jerusalem, our Lord forever, let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup, giving thanks to God and passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, telling them this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Jesus Christ, shed on the cross that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in remembrance and thanksgiving of all that Jesus offers us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed for us, for each one of us. the imperfections don't matter in our lives, that you look beyond that into our hearts. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray that we may be faithful followers of you in all that we do and all that we say. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn this morning is number 195, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. In our Lord's peaceful kingdom, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and a little child shall lead them. With hearts hungry for this vision of harmony, let us put faith in the babe of Bethlehem and follow him in the way of peace. Amen.